Amen. Well, good morning, church. So good to see everybody. Turn to your neighbor and say, Happy New Year. All right. This morning, as we begin our study, we're going to be in the book of Acts. So open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. And if you need a Bible, please raise your hand. Our ushers will make sure that you can follow along with us. And if you do not have one, please consider that a gift from us to you. For the last, while you're turning there, I do want to just share a couple things with you. And that is, we are super blessed by the volunteers that we have here in our fellowship. And one of the things that we would like to, yes, you can clap for that. Praise the Lord. And what I'd like to do is personally invite you to join us on January 25th at 9 a.m. here at the church. We would love to have an appreciation breakfast in your honor. All of the years that you've been serving, whether cleaning ministry, parking lot, you name it, whatever part of ministry that you are in, we would love to thank you. And we're going to all have one pizza and we're going to just divide it up between everybody. Okay. But you know, one of the things that is amazing as we go through ministry and we see all of the different areas that we've been blessed to open up to the body of Christ, we have literally a few hundred people serving, volunteering their time. So praise the Lord for that. And so I want to invite you out. Yes. All I would ask, the breakfast is free. All I would ask is that you would please sign up so that we could know how much food to prepare. And we would love to spend that morning with you, thanking you and looking forward to another season of serving together. So please keep that in mind. And then also really quick, you know, throughout this last several months, we had several different outreaches during Christmas. I want to invite you to come this Paul night. It'll be this coming Wednesday. And we have several of our church family who went to Mexico on this this outreach during Christmas. And they're going to come and share their personal testimony of what God allowed them to do while they were there in Mexico. So this is a joint effort. It's a partnership. We want you to come on out, hear what God is doing, and then we'll have an opportunity to pray for our workers around the world. Okay? Sound good? All right, let's all stand out of reverence if you can. If not, no worries. We're going to look at Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. All right. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. God, we are thankful for this portion of scripture, this time that we get to study your word and praying that what you teach us today would turn into action, that we would see the beauty of what you desired the church to be. And Lord, I just know, and I pray that everyone else would know this in this church, in this room right now, there is no such thing as a perfect church. But our desire today is to stay true to what you've called us to do. And we'll see these principles throughout this passage this morning. So Holy Spirit, give us an open heart and ears to hear. May we not only hear, receive, take ownership of them, and live them out as servants. And so today we are thankful that we have you as our teacher. So bless this time now, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Before we actually jump in, I want to share a little bit as to why we're going through this portion of scripture. But it actually started about 4 years ago. And there's been something that has sparked my heart when it comes to us as followers of Christ. And I hear many times people say this, oh, you go to church, so you have to do these things. And the reality is it's not a have to, it's a get to. When we discover the beauty of what God did for us and opening up our hearts and our understanding of knowing what we've been saved from, the rightful response for us to give back what rightfully belongs to him, and that's our hearts, that's our life. And so God's desire is to come into our lives. He doesn't force his way, but what he desires to do is come and teach us his way of life. Because I don't think I need to expound on this, but if you just look around our world and people are doing it their way, let me ask this question. How's it working for us? Okay, I take that as it ain't, right? And so the reality of today is having the ability to come back to some basics, but 4 years ago, what God put upon my heart is that we are called to love. But not just love, not because he instructs us, but we're to love well. And so we started this every year, a message entitled Loving Well. This one is Love Well 4.0. Okay? And so we've done this 4 times already. And it's a desire that we have as individuals, but also as a church. And what I mean by that is you and I are the church. So we today need to stay true to what God is asking of us. And he says, if you love one another, people will know that you are my disciples. And so as we love one another, we don't want to just, you know, be in here and love each other. We need to love each other outside of this building. And that means even to those who don't know the Lord, to those who, you know, may be out there just living their own way and they have different views and different lifestyles and different ideas of who God is, we are called to love all people. And we love them by speaking truth to them. And there's a way that God desires for us to do this. And again, if we notice, why did Jesus first come into this world? To seek and to save. And as followers of Christ, we need to follow suit. So hence the theme, love well. And today we're looking at a portion of scripture in Acts chapter 2, which is really the day of Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit came. Now I want to give a little bit of background. And in the beginning of chapter 2, the day of Pentecost had fully come. So this is one of the main 3 feasts that all Jewish men were required to attend. So at this particular time, Jerusalem would have been extremely packed with a lot of people. And when you look at an actual Jewish calendar, you will see several feasts back to back, which are the Passover feast, which is on the 14th day of Nisan, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the 15th day of Nisan, and then the Feast of First Fruits, which is the 16th day of Nisan. And so all of these are back to back, and then we have the Feast of Passover, which is 50 days after the Passover. And what's interesting about these feasts is this. These feasts actually point to Jesus and the fulfillment of his promise in sending the Holy Spirit into this world. I want you to notice this. What does the Passover feast direct us to and point to Jesus? Because he was the sacrificial lamb that took the sins of the world's sins away. When you look at on this feast, lambs were sacrificed. Jesus became that sacrifice for you and me. When you look at the Feast of First Fruits, offering God what is your best, the very first things of the harvest, but Jesus would also be the very first who would raise from the dead and never die again. So this points back to him. And then on the day of Pentecost, again, Jesus told the disciples to remain in Jerusalem until they received power from the Holy Spirit. And it was on this day that the Holy Spirit was poured out. If you go back again to the beginning of chapter 2, listen, as the sound of a rushing wind from heaven came down, every single believer that was in a house, which is roughly around 120 people, as they were praying, the Holy Spirit filled that room. And not only did it fill the room, but each of them were given a specific gift on this day. And it says that many of them spoke in tongues, which means that they were declaring the wonderful works of God in another language that they had never known before. Peter was also empowered by the Holy Spirit, because as other people outside of this home heard from their own native dialect the wonders of God, they were all amazed. Some of them were marveling because they knew they were Galileans. Okay, this might surprise you. If you don't know this, my name is Jerry Camacho. But this Mexican does not speak Spanish. Okay? I know it's a shock. But you would be expected, with a name like that, people would talk to me in Spanish, and they do. And so I have to very politely say, I'm sorry, I do not speak Spanish. And then a couple of other words are exchanged. But anyways, that's beside the point. But it would be like me standing up in front of you, being Mexican, and I bust out in an Asian language, so maybe Filipino. Even though I lived there for 12 years, I knew a little bit about it. I learned a little bit, but I still couldn't hold a conversation. Or if I went to Japan and I spoke their native dialect, people would look at me and go, what? Right? This is why they marveled. But then others began to say, this is just crazy. They're drunk. They don't know what they're saying. But Peter, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, listen carefully, he stood up with boldness, and Peter began to explain everything that just happened. And literally, it was a fulfillment of prophecy. He pointed him back to the scriptures, and he said, the prophet Joel foretold this day would come when God would pour out his Spirit. This is what's happening right before your eyes. You are all witnessing this today. And what else did Peter do? He went on to declare who Jesus is. That Jesus is the Messiah. And as he told this crowd the truth of who Jesus is, that God made him both Lord and Christ, the Messiah, he says, you guys are the ones that crucified him. He was not holding any punches back. He told them, you were the ones who had him crucified. But God raised him from the dead. And not only did he raise him from the dead, once again, he declared Jesus Lord and the Christ, the Messiah. And as this crowd was pierced by this truth, again, speaking love and truth, I want you to notice this, the crowd was convicted. And as they were convicted, they asked Peter, what should we do now? Now that you just told us what we did, what can we do from this point on? Is there any hope for us? And the answer is yes. And so what did Peter encourage them to do? Repent. He challenged them. Change your thinking of who Jesus is. He then went on and said, be baptized. He told them to remember that baptism was an outward demonstration of what's taking place inwardly. Make a public declaration that you believe in who Jesus is. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. And he went on to tell them that if they followed through with these things and they believed, that they would be forgiven of their sins and be given an amazing gift, which is called the Holy Spirit. And then that leading into everlasting life. Now listen to this, from this one message. Don't know how long it took, but from this one message, the Bible tells us that 3,000 people got saved that day. Praise the Lord. This was the birth of the church. This is an opportunity for us to see how the early church operated and what God desired to do in and through this brand new group of people who believed and who Jesus was. And so now we pick up in verse 42, and it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And again, this is an amazing picture. From one message, notice this, a huge crowd of people surrendering their hearts to the Lord, and they publicly declared that Jesus was their Lord and Savior. This is an amazing picture. And I pray that we as a church, listen, you who have been here for a season and consider Calvary your home church, you know we give altar calls. And when we come to that point in our service, those of you who are believers, this is what I'm encouraging you to do today. Be praying for those who don't know Jesus. And when you hear me say, praise God, I see your hand there, that as soon as we are done praying, we would rejoice with that person. The Bible says that even when one person receives Christ, there's a pretty amazing party happening in heaven. Can you imagine 3,000 people? Right? And so, again, an amazing picture. I want to call this a major revival taking place. People being awakened to the truth of who Jesus is. And so as this is going on and the church is now birthed, it's the beginning. It says here, look at the word, steadfast means by firm determination or resolution, not shaken, to be unwavering. This is what I love about this word. It really means to be devoted. In other words, their hearts were set. Nothing was going to keep them or get in their way from growing in their faith. They were determined to learn more of who Jesus was. They were devoting themselves. Notice this. It says to the apostles' doctrine. Now, what I want us to make sure we understand is that the apostles did not have their own set of teachings. It is very clear through the scriptures that the apostles were chosen by Jesus himself to carry his teachings to the world. Where do we see this in the scriptures? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20. As they were to go into all the earth and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, he says, and teaching them the things that I have commanded you. All they were messengers. Listen, that's all I am, is a messenger of Christ. So when you hear things and you get all, why are you getting all in my business, Pastor? You don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with God. Because all I'm doing is delivering the message. Okay? That's it. And we're going to remain true to this, just like the apostles. But listen, what was unique, because they didn't have the whole Bible like we do. So the apostles were able to take the Old Testament scriptures from the prophets, just like Peter began to do with Joel, and he even quoted from David. And he connected the dots and linked them to Jesus' life and his ministry. And he helped them to see, connecting the dots, that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, that he actually is God in the flesh. See, for us today, we're blessed because we have the full counsel of God in our hands. We have our Bibles. Praise the Lord for that. And because we have our Bibles, all we need to do is dig into it. But for the apostles, this is how they connected. This is how they revealed God's truth. And what we know from the study of God's word is God's overall plan for all of humanity is that we would be with him for all eternity. Plain and simple. You want one verse that sums up your whole Bible? Here it is. John chapter 3, verse 16. The whole purpose of what we have in our hand. God loves you. And he's provided a way for you to be with him for all eternity. And it is through his precious son, his one and only begotten son, Jesus Christ. And so, not only did they teach this doctrine, I want you to also see this. They were devoted to having fellowship. These new believers were devoted to being with one another. They were making every effort to be there, to hang out, to talk about the Lord. And what I want us to understand when we talk about fellowship, It comes from a word called koinonia. And this word basically speaks of a oneness or a participation. It's the sharing in. Many of you maybe be in this room financially wise, and you start putting shares into companies and for your retirement or whatever. You're taking a part in that business. You put in order to get back. And here's what I want you to see. True fellowship is not just sharing is caring, okay? That's not the true picture that I want to develop. When we're talking about true fellowship, what is it? It is, listen, it is an ability to share our lives and also sharing of the life and love of Christ with one another. Bring in Jesus into your activity. Now listen, I'm not here to be a killjoy, okay? But I'm just gonna, we need to call it for what it is. If you decide that you wanna call somebody up and say, hey, let's get together, Super Bowl's happening, and you have a Super Bowl party at your place, totally fine. Just don't call it fellowship. Because all you're doing is hanging out, watching football. Is Jesus actually included in it? No. You're just watching somebody hit another person, hoping that your team's going to win. Now, I don't have to worry about that because my team's not going to be there. But that's just another story. That's just another story. True fellowship is doing life with one another. It's having the ability to take an everyday circumstance, be with other people who are like-minded, who love Jesus, and are willing to bring Jesus into your conversation. Are willing to talk about and encourage and pray for each other. That is true fellowship. This is why we want to encourage you to be a part of the life groups that are happening. Because it's another night throughout the middle of your week to be encouraged. To open up God's word and let him minister to your heart. So they were willing to do these things. And the truth of the matter is, even from the very beginning, God made it very clear that none of us were meant to be alone. We were meant to be a part of a community. And so Jesus said it very clearly, it is not good for man to be alone. And you can put woman in there too. That's totally fine. There's no such thing as a solo Christian. You were meant to be in community, and these guys made every effort to do it. They also were devoted to breaking bread. This has two different meanings. It could speak of just a very common meal, or it could speak of they took communion together. They spent time remembering what Jesus did. And this is good, beloved. Listen, if you want to rekindle your heart, maybe, let me just ask this question. Maybe if you have felt seasons in your walk with the Lord where you're dry, I want to challenge you with this. Start looking back on the day that God saved you. I want you to look back and then start thinking of the ways that God has worked in your life, the victories that he's given you, the difficulties that you overcame, the circumstances that you thought there was no way getting out of this, and yet look at what God has done in your life. That's what I want you to look back on. For what reason? To refresh your soul. Hence, going back to our summer series last year, Refresh. And so the beauty of remembering is to make sure that we understand not only the sacrifice that Jesus made, but as followers of Christ, the same love and the same grace that God has poured upon us, that our own selfish nature would be broken and we would serve one another. That we would have the ability to remember the sacrifices that God gave, and we would sacrifice ourselves, that we would be willing to serve one another and do good to all people. They were devoted to prayer. Notice this. They gathered together to talk to God. Now I know in this room, there's many people in here who love to pray. I know it. I also know this. When we come here as a church, we have an opportunity to pray for one another, to open up our hearts and to lift up one another's cares, concerns, worries. We can pray for healing. We can ask the Lord to do all of these things in our own personal lives, as well as the lives of those who are sitting next to you. So what I want you to do right now is turn to your neighbor and say, don't be afraid to ask for prayer. Come on now. Don't be afraid. We need to do it. And I don't want you to worry. Well, Pastor, I don't sound, you know, like a, I don't know how to pray, you know, eloquently and all of that. And it's like, don't worry about that. Some of the simplest prayers are, Lord, please heal them. Some of the best prayers is, Lord, we need you. He's not looking for fancy words or fluff. He just wants you to be real. And it's okay to say, Lord, I don't get this. I'm frustrated and I'm mad. It's okay to be real. If you're going to be real with anybody, be real with him. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, we'll see it a little bit later, but we're to pray without ceasing. No matter what the circumstance is, no matter if you think you got it or not, still pray and ask the Lord to guide you, to help you through it. This is what the early church did. They devoted themselves, they participated, they shared in this common goal, and these four principles stem from this: the study of God's word, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. This is what they were all in with. I want you to notice the order. The study of God's word. You want to know God, you need to get into the word. You want to grow in your relationship with the Lord, you need to get into the word. You want to know how to act, you need to get into the word. The fellowship, not letting the busyness of life pull you away from being in the midst of other brothers and sisters. And I say this out of love. For those of you who are joining us online, we are so blessed that you are here. And for those who can't be here because of physical issues, but for those of you, and I'm just going to say this in love, who are at home right now in your PJs, who have enough gas and have enough ability to get here, you are missing out. I say that in love. We want you here, not at home. And I pray that we would see when people gather together and the body of Christ worships together, how amazing it is that God's Spirit is poured out and hearts are being changed. And then we have remembering. We're going to take communion today. We're going to have an opportunity to look back and thank the Lord for how he saved us and the promise of his return. And then again, the ability to pray. Because they were committed and devoted and determined to do these things. Notice verse 43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now I want you to see this. The word fear here is probos, which means a deep sense of awe. It was profound respect for these brand new people who put their trust in the Lord. To see this many people, listen, there's not 3,000 people in this room right now, but the room is full. Can you imagine if all of us had one heart, one mind, one soul, and one desire? Wouldn't that be awesome? Right? That's the goal. And it can be accomplished with God's help. By God's grace, we can do that. But what makes even a room of 10 people impossible to get along? What is it? We're all sinful. We all have a rebellious nature toward God. It's all about me. And the reality of that truth is this. When you, listen carefully, when you don't seek after the things of the Lord, your natural nature will rise up and want to take control again. And it will lead you down a path that you don't want to go. But yet these people from different places who now believed in the Lord came together. They were unified. They were in harmony between one another. They had a love for God. They had a love for one another. And what did God do? He used the apostles to do supernatural things. He used them to heal, to cast out demons. Their lives were completely set apart for God's personal use. In other words, they picked up right where Jesus left off. Jesus was 100% committed to fulfilling his Father's will. As believers in Christ, as followers today, are we 100% committed to following his will? I'm so thankful we can strive for that, but God knows we're not going to be perfect. But let's not use that as an excuse. Let's give God our hearts and watch what he will do. And as this group of people began to be in awe of how God was moving within his children, for those who believed in him, notice this, verse 44 and verse 45. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Now, it's important to point this out. This is not a form of socialism or communism. These believers were not forced to do these things. What is powerful about this testimony, it was God, his Holy Spirit, that was leading people to do these things. Listen, some of you in here, I love you, but some of you, okay, love coffee. And when something goes wrong out there with that stuff, you let me know. What's up with this, Pastor? And the truth is, listen, the truth that I want us to see is this. It wasn't about forcing people to do something. Do you realize out of the kindness and the willingness of people's hearts, because they're touched by the Lord, they come and do that stuff for you and they get here at 6 or 7 in the morning to make sure there's coffee here for you. Nobody forces them. Nobody forces the cleaning crew to come and clean the bathrooms for you, or nobody's forcing the guys out there to help you get and navigate through the parking lot. Everyone who is serving in this church is doing it willingly. And this is where the body of Christ was. They were being led by the Lord, and this is how the unity began to happen. They humbled themselves, took their eyes off of them, and they focused on other people and how they could bless someone else. Again, I want to applaud you for those of you who scooted over, who took your Bible off of your chair for the sake of another body. That was supposed to be a joke, but anyways. I must have hit a button. This is a powerful testimony because by nature we are selfish. We don't care about anybody else. It's all about us, and we'll do whatever it takes to get what pleases our soul. That's who we once were. But as believers in Christ, he's given us a new nature. And now we have the ability to love God, to love other people. And that means loving them even when they're unlovable. That means that we have the power and the ability now to take what we learn and put it into action. You will always hear from this pulpit, not only the word of God, but I will challenge you with what it means to our life today. How can we apply it? How can we live it? And so they were able to learn what God was teaching them. They turned it into action. They served one another. They cared for one another. They were being led by the Spirit. What these new believers were fulfilling that many of them didn't even realize is what Jesus told his disciples on that night before he was betrayed. And he said this in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. There's the standard. I want you to go out and love one another as I have loved you. Not based upon your love. Not based upon your conditions. On how I have loved you. There's the standard. That you also love one another. By this, you fulfill this, all will know that you are my disciples. And then he says this. If you love if you have love for one another. They were fulfilling this. People were in awe of this. There's something different about you. How is it that all of you are like each other? And yet it was an honest witness. It was a testimony of the power of God. Verse 46 and 47. So continually daily with one accord in the temple. Now, I just want to clarify this. This doesn't mean they were rolling up to the temple in a Honda Accord, okay? That's not what it means. They were at one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Yeah, you guys are a little slow this morning. They were breaking bread from house to house and they ate food. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I want to point out a couple of key things and key phrases, and that is on a daily basis. This is so important for us to see. The early church was devoted and committed to doing these things daily. What were they? They met in the temple. The temple was a place of worship. The temple was a place for them to gather and to learn the scriptures. It was an opportunity for them to grow. They met from house to house and they broke bread together. They had this amazing opportunity of fellowship with one another. They would eat a common meal together. Notice this, with gladness and simplicity of heart. I want you to understand this. This was talking about them, you know, being thankful what was placed before them. It wasn't a fancy meal. It wasn't a five-course meal. If you can do that, praise the Lord. But if not, I'm pretty sure many of them just had pita bread and hummus. Mm-hmm. All right. I had heard a pastor in California, Pastor Pancho Juarez, used to say this a lot of times when he was struggling in his financial, you know, seasons in life. He says it was beans and rice and Jesus Christ. And sometimes it's only beans. But the truth is, whatever was placed before them, there was no complaining. There was no, I've eaten this every single day. There was a gladness, a thankfulness. You know, I love our country. I love where we live and the blessings that we have. On almost every street corner in town, you'll find a restaurant. You'll find markets everywhere. Do you realize that there are some people today who don't even have a refrigerator in their home? That they go shopping daily for their daily needs? And we, whenever we're hungry, I guarantee you can find something in your kitchen. We're blessed. And they ate together. They broke bread together, but the point is they had fellowship together, and they did this outside of church, of the temple, there wasn't even a church building, but they spent time with one another. And the other thing it says here, that they praised God together. They publicly declared God's goodness. Maybe they were excited about what they learned. When was the last time you walked out of this church building and praise the Lord for what he taught you that day? When was the last time that you went outside of this building or maybe at work, praise God for answering your prayer in front of your coworkers who don't know Jesus, or maybe they're of another faith? When was the last time that we've testified to the goodness of God and what he's done in our life? You know, I want to give God a huge shout out. Maurice and I took an unexpected trip to California after last Sunday service. For those of you who are part of our fellowship, you know that my nephew passed away back in July. And Maurice's nephew is in the hospital right now. This young man is 27 years old. But from his birth, he's had a bad heart. He's had several heart transplants already. And because of the scarring and everything that has already happened from the previous surgeries, there's nothing more that the doctors can do. And I praise God that while we were there visiting with him, we had the blessing of being used by God to not just lead him to the Lord, but both his mom and dad. When was the last time that you praised God for what he's doing in your life? These things come at us at all seasons. Some of us get blindsided by them. Some of us are still grieving, but we grieve with hope. Not hopelessness, but we grieve with hope. In other words, through our hurt and pain, God helps us through them. We don't just forget about them. We don't get over them. God gets us through them. And how awesome when you have brothers and sisters along your side to go through them. You see, that's the beauty of what this world needs to hear of genuine believers in Christ, loving each other, serving each other, mourning, laughing, dancing with each other. Well, I don't know about the dancing, but you know what I'm talking about. Praising God together. This is what our world needs to see. The church praising God together. You see, the early church was used by God in a powerful way because their faith was a day-to-day reality and not a once-a-week routine. I want to let that sink in for a little bit. I'll even read it again. The early church was used by God in a powerful way because their faith was a day-to-day reality and not a once-a-week routine. The fruit of their lives was poured out. They lived what they were taught, and the early church grew rapidly. The early church was a disciple-making church. They were doing everything that God commanded them to do. They had favor with people. And as the church was birthed, the common people began to, who were not of the faith, they marveled and they would later become believers in Christ. As you go on through the book of Acts, the religious leaders were so upset, saying that the apostles had spread this gospel to all Jerusalem. So the gospel was moving in a powerful way. And of course, because of that, it says here in verse 47, it was God who added to the church daily. It's only God who does that. We're not here to throw gimmicks. We're not here to entertain you. We're here to teach God's word. And because of that, God is the one who's going to increase the church, not me. It is God's church. And we want God's word to be taught. And so this is the way that the early church operated. This is the things that God was pleased with the early church. So today, what's our takeaway? Today, what is it that I want to challenge us with? How can we love well? Again, using this phrase, loving well, not because we have to, but because we get to. How can we love well in 2025? How can we be a light today in this dark world? How can we not be overcome by evil or not be troubled because of the trouble that's happening in our world? How can we continue to be in this world and not allow that to affect us? The Bible says very clearly, by overcoming evil with good. Romans chapter 12. And so I believe for 2025, how can we love well? That we need to return to the foundation of the church. That we need to go back to the roots of the early church. And what do I mean by that? That we as followers today also need to be steadfast. That we too would be devoted to taking in and living out God's word. Come on now, church. This is important that we don't become the believers who are content with just coming on a Sunday. Now, please understand, I am not there in your home and watching what you do from Saturday, you know, from Monday to Saturday. You may be reading your Bible even more than I do, and praise the Lord for that. But remember that this is an opportunity for us as the church to learn God's ways. And as a church, we need to come in here and not just occupy a seat for an hour or so, and then just go home and put our Bible away and not pick it up throughout the week. That's not God's heart. That's not God's desire. And if that is you, I want to challenge you right now. You're missing out on the most amazing relationship ever, and that's with God. God wants to use you, but you'll never know how if you are only spending Sunday with him. Let him speak into your life every day, because the Bible actually has the answer to every life issue that you will face. And if you, again, are getting stuck by what's happening in our world, if you're losing focus, get back into the Word so that you know God is still sovereign. We know these things are going to happen. So again, if they're happening, don't let trouble you. Hang on to what you know is sure and secure, and that is Jesus is coming, and for all those who have called upon his name will be saved from the rest of the evil that's going to happen in this world. Amen. That's what we need to stay focused on. And the only way we're going to stay focused is, again, when we devote ourselves to getting into the Word and doing it as a church. Amen. I know that there are many churches out there, and I'm hearing this from many people who come to this fellowship and say, I'm so thankful that you're teaching from the Word of God. And our commitment here, because this is God's church, we're going to continue to teach his teachings. We're going to continue to teach through the whole counsel of God. When you study and you devote yourself to the Word, it is the Word of God that transforms your life. It is the Word of God that will be planted deeply within your hearts to bear fruit. How many of you remember Psalm 119? How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your Word. That we would not only hear God's Word, but we would allow it to remain within our hearts and in our minds, that we would meditate on it, that we would pray over it, that we would ask God to help us understand what we're reading so that we can then apply it. This is what I'm talking about, being devoted, unwavering. Don't be moved by the things of this world, but let us anchor down and stand firm on the truth of God's Word. I want you to see this really quickly. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32 says this: Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know what? The truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is the Word of God and what it'll do in our life. Here's another good verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is why we study God's Word. Again, every issue, every circumstance, God's Word will give you an answer. God will guide you. God will teach you. Here's the other thing. God chastens you, and he will correct you because he loves you. Again, don't get mad at the messenger. If you do, steve@calvarysu.com. When we stay devoted to the Word of God, we apply Galatians chapter 2:20, where Paul also said these things by the leading of the Holy Spirit. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is what the word of God will do for us. Change your appetite. The things of the world that we thought we needed and must have, God says, it's garbage. It can't compare to the goodness that I have for you today. Anything this world has to offer is temporary, but everything God desires for you today is eternal. This is the beauty that we have before us today. Love well by being devoted. Be a student of the word. As a church, we are going to be committed, and I want to invite you to continue to come back. Listen, I don't want you to start allowing your flesh to complain.
There's too many cars in the parking lot. I have to sit next to somebody.
Listen, church, can we be thankful that we have a place to meet? Can we be thankful that God has provided us this place of worship? Can we be thankful that, you know, we're not having to worry about birds flying in here or, you know, hearing the noise from outside? God has blessed us. And I want to encourage us to be thankful and come so that we together as the church will grow in the teachings of Jesus so that we can make him known outside of this building. From all of the different opportunities that we have here, there's no excuses why none of us, while anybody in this church, cannot grow. There is a ministry for everybody, from our children, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, we're not a daycare center here. We teach your kids the word of God on a level that they will understand. And I will definitely take time from this pulpit to go and teach in the children's ministry because I love your kids. And I want them to know Jesus at such a young age. We are going to be a church that is committed to studying and teaching the word of God. That's how we're going to love well through 2025. How about this? Be devoted to fellowship with one another. I want to read this one portion of scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Let us not allow the busyness of life to pull us away from being a part of fellowship, being a part of a church service, being a part of a life group, being a part of a men's study or a woman's study, being a part of, you know, serving the body of Christ. You know, we throughout the year are going to take time to have things for us to do as a church. Last year, we were able to do, you know, several outreaches to our community from Easter to Christmas. Be a part of it. Come and be a light within the audience. Meet people, encourage them, invite them to church if they don't have a home church. But the other things about going to Switchpoint and Utah Food Bank and signing up for a Red Cross blood drive, signing up to provide a meal for somebody who's in need, all of these things is what God desires for us as the body. We are a part of the body. And as a part of the body, when we come together, we're going to rejoice together. There's going to be seasons where we mourn together. There are going to be seasons where we praise God together. We're going to be in seasons where we see God move in powerful ways, and we're going to testify to that. But we also need to do it outside of this building. And so when you hear of a movie night, come. Invite somebody who doesn't know Jesus. During our church anniversary, it'll be in May sometime. What are we going to do? I have no idea. We're going to do something. But if we do it, come join us. Be a part of it. Harvest night. Be a part of it. Thanksgiving outreach. Be a part of it. Don't let the busyness and other things that have no value pull you away from being a part of the fellowship that God has for us today. It is so important because when we gather together, we get to hear God speak to us, and just his word alone will mold and shape us into his image. Here's another thing that we as a church, if we want to love well through 2025, be devoted to praying with and for one another. Listen, I want to challenge you. If somebody comes up to you and they're going through it, right there at that moment, I don't care if you're at Walmart. I don't care if you're at Target, all the more so at Target. Even if you're at Ross, wherever your favorite store is, whatever that store is. Even there, pray for somebody. You hear them going through it. Can I just pray for you right now? If they're the ones that say no, then that's on them, but you can still pray for them. How about, like I said earlier, you know what blesses me? We have an amazing prayer team, not just here after the service. But for those of you who don't know this, we get several prayer requests sent into the church all the time. And we have a list of people that we send those prayer requests out to. People who are committed to praying for one another in the comforts of their own home. And the moment they get those emails, those prayer warriors are on it. So I'm thankful for our prayer team. But you know what I would desire for us as a church to be known as? A church that prays. Amen. For those of you who don't know this, we have a group of people right now praying for you in the middle of this service. And there'll be another group praying for the 11:30 service, you know, that non-spiritual service. Prayer is an essential thing. Talking with God. It is what we need to do as a church. And so my desire for us this year in loving well as a church, and you are the church, you and I are the church today, that we would commit to being more devoted in the Word of God. That we would take what God is teaching us, live it out. That we would do our own studying. That we would share with boldness the beauty of who God is. Share what you know. And then let the Word of God, let it transform you. Walk in obedience to it. When we talk about fellowship, and again, that word koinonia, the sharing of, I am so blessed because there are many, many times when the need is known here in this fellowship, there are many who respond to it. Whenever we talk about the youth getting ready to go out on a mission trip, there are several people who have stepped up and supported our youth or supported our workers that are out on the field when they come home. And I'm going to challenge you with this. We're going to have a couple of families come off of the mission field, and when they come back, we need to love them well. We need to help them get back acclimated into St. George from wherever they were serving the Lord. It will be a culture shock for them. If you haven't invested in the kingdom of God, don't worry, I'm not going to ask for an offering. But I want you to know, again, koinonia, sharing, is being a part of, it's participating. How many of you know that we have the ability to support at least 8-9 different people that are up on our mission board? Pray over them. Let the Lord lead you in how to support them. And it doesn't always have to be financial. You can spiritually support them, praying for them, communicating with them. When they come back home, sit down with them. Let them share with you what God is doing in their life, what God is doing out on the mission field. Partner with them. We have a ton of things that we do throughout the year. And again, I'm super blessed. Whenever we have those barrels from the Utah Food Bank, those barrels get filled up literally almost every week that we have them. when we have our Thanksgiving outreach, when we have our Christmas outreach. I was so blessed to see that there was over 15 families within this body who were willing to step up and say, I'm here to bless another family. I'm so thankful for the way that we've given from our church family to further God's kingdom out on the mission field. This church is committed to spending 20% of its annual income to go to build for God's kingdom. That is a huge honor and a blessing for us. We are partnering and we are wanting to make sure that the gospel gets sent out, that we are doing our part in fulfilling the Great Commission. What's your part in it? How are we going to continue to do that for the Lord? And the last thing, beloved, we need to pray for each other. Because the days are getting darker. And the Bible says very clearly that those who are of the faith, some will depart. May that not be any of us. May we stay firm, stay committed, stay devoted in the things of the Lord. And he will use us to love well throughout 2025. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Amen. Worship team, come forward. This morning, we are going to take communion, and we're going to have our ushers pass it out. But as we have a time of prayer right now, I want to just let the Lord, again, take this time to minister to our hearts. So, Father, we thank you again for your word today. And I do ask, God, that you would please help us today, God, to see the beauty of who you are, that we would love well, that we would go above and beyond, Lord, what we can to be a blessing to other people, that we would continue to humble ourselves and take our eyes off of us for the well-being of other people. And today I pray, God, as our hearts have heard your word, as we've received from you today, that you would continue to show us and teach us your ways. And today I pray for every believer that you would pour out your spirit upon them and help them throughout this season. That you would help us all, Lord, be the men and the women that you've called us to be. That we would use the spiritual gifts that you've given us. As you filled us with your spirit, may our lives be dedicated and set apart for your use only. Give us a desire, Lord, a hunger for more of you. And so I pray that for us as a family, as a church body. But I also would like to pray for those who don't know you. Maybe today you're here and what was shared this morning, maybe you've never heard that before. Maybe you've never heard of how much God loves you and wants to spend all eternity with you. And what was heard today, if it made sense and your heart is driving, you know, it's your heart right now is just beating a mile a minute because of your desire right now to want to get right with God. If this is you, I want to invite you. I want to lift up this time right now specifically to give you that opportunity to have a personal relationship with God. And it's a simple prayer. It's faith, believing in what Jesus did, that he came into this world. He died for all of our sins so that we could be forgiven and reconciled back to God. He did all of this for us out of love because he wants to spend eternity with all of you. He came to save us from being eternally separated from him. And if this is you this morning, right where you're at, I want to invite you just to slip up your hand because it would be an honor to lead you in a prayer to get right with God. Praise the Lord. I see your hand here. I see your hand in the middle. Praise Jesus. Anyone else? I see your hand toward the back. Praise the Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for the hands that have been raised, and maybe you're here and had a desire to raise your hand, but you just didn't. Can I just encourage you? You can still pray. It is not the raising of your hand that saves you. It's your heart. God is concerned with your heart. So for anybody in this room right now, you want to get right with God, repeat this prayer with us. And for those who raise your hand, join in with this. Dear God, I thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross. And I've learned today that he died for the sins of the world. He died for my sin. So God, I come before you and I confess that I've sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? For I believe by faith in Jesus' death and his resurrection. I believe by faith that my sins are forgiven and I'm at peace with you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and for saving me. God, would you please come into my life and from this day forward, teach me your ways. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Right now, for us as a church, we're going to rejoice. We thank the Lord for touching hearts today. For those of you who did make that prayer sincere between you and God, at the end of the service, off to my left is Pastor Guy. We would love for you to spend a little time with him. He'll encourage you, but I also want to just encourage you with this. We're going to take communion today. Our ushers are going to pass out the elements. Go ahead and start passing them out. We don't force anybody to take communion, but if you desire not to, just pass the plate. Hang on to the elements. We're going to take communion together. The worship team is going to lead us in a song. And while we're worshiping the Lord, I want to encourage you, let's get our hearts right with God. We do not want to take communion in an unworthy manner. And so let's go ahead and do that now.